Hello, here we are again after a 17-day break since the last one of these. We've left a bit of a break because Stuart's fucked off to South Africa again, so we're having to do this on Zoom. So you might find a bit of break up or whatever, but we're sure Alex can sort out once we send in the thing. So how are we all? How are you, Stuart? You're looking at... Oh, what an absolute dump you're sat in there. What's that place?
I don't know how I put up with it, but no. I manage. I try. I take one for the team. And I put up with it. Yeah, it's. I would be lying if I said it's anything other than fairly spectacular here.
Yeah.
And apart from the only day it's actually rained was my birthday.
Good.
I think the weather gods thought your birthday in January, the weather's always grey and crap. So wherever you are, I woke up, opened the curtains, I thought, I can't believe it. It's grey and crap again. So, yeah.
Stop sniffing.
It's been beautiful. We've had some lovely days. Saturday, Sunday, beautiful.
Hello, Andrew. Yes. So he's here.
Hello.
Hello.
Sprawled out with his iPhone.
English winter, lovely.
Yes. So, but the one good thing about the English winter, of course, is Six Nations starts again.
Oh, yes.
It's the only thing that gets me through it, if I'm honest. It gets me through sort of... the end of January and into March. Sorry?
Apart from the podcast, obviously.
Obviously.
Were Wales the worst rugby team to ever play a Six Nations, or were France sublime?
I feel a bit sorry for Wales. I wonder, I sort of was thinking about Wales the other day, and I wonder whether...
How can anyone feel sorry for Wales?
Well, because I quite like the Welsh. So, let me just bear with me a minute.
Oh, no.
Stop it. Just bear with me a minute. I wonder whether, you see, in the last 10, 12 years... we've seen a massive improvement in the Welsh football team. And they've had like this, you know, Gareth Bale came along and he was one of the world's top players and they qualified for a couple of tournaments. And I wonder whether all these kids in the valleys want to be Gareth Bale now and they're not interested in being Barry John and they're struggling for rugby players. What do you think,
their
Andrew?
Inspiration was the fact he was earning £600,000 a week.
Well, it might have been
that. I thought they were...
possibly see that as a good career move.
I thought they were appalling, and I've no sympathy whatsoever.
Thank you very much. What have you got against the Welsh? I think they're all right,
don't
actually.
Don't get him going on this one, for God's sake.
Okay, I won't.
Don't get me started on the Welsh.
Loney, how are we, love?
I'm all right, thank you. Yeah, very good. Waiting for my fridge to be delivered.
Oh, shit, I thought it turned up. I thought that's what all the kerfuffle was.
No, I've got... my sister-in-law has popped over to... help. So when it does get delivered, she can help. So while I do this, but I keep looking out the window to see if it's them, and then my dog's just now come in. So it's all a little bit chaotic. But otherwise, I'm good.
Did you manage?
That's very useful, actually, because we're doing our quiz today later on. He's on famous nicknames.
Oh, that's a good one.
So we need to scribble out two Jags for John Prescott and put in two fridges for Lona.
Yes. Lona, two fridges.
She's got two fridges. I've got two fridges.
I've got three, actually.
Have you?
Yes. I've got one in the garden.
I've got one in the outhouse.
No, it's sort of in the outdoor. Listen, that's rich from you.
Yeah. Hang on a minute. I'm trying to work out how many Simos got. I reckon you've got five, haven't you?
Depends if you count
Harry, five fridges.
By tenants.
Oh, I never thought of that.
That bloke, he's got more fridges than curries.
Yeah, that's one of his selling points on his places. Comes with a working fridge.
Comes with a working fridge and an oven. You can actually eat whilst you live here and pay me money for it. No. So how is life in Loner World?
Yeah, it's pretty good, actually. It's it's good. My eldest went back to uni yesterday. Yeah, he did. I know he went back after Christmas for a week, and now he's been back for 2 weeks, but he's gone back now.
What was that? Why did he come back? Was he missing you, or was it a reading fortnight? Or
yeah, I think it was. I think, yeah, it was just... no.
This is his mummy.
But yeah, of course.
Of course he does.
But he's gone back now. He wasn't there. he wanted to be back there. He's like, you know, I like being here and everything, but he's gone back now and he won't come back until, I think he's back in March.
And March? Like, it, that's in 25 days' time.
I know. It's crazy. Oh, and then April, and then, yeah, he finishes on the 16th of May. It's ridiculous. It's
just ridiculous. How on earth can they call that 9.5 grand's worth when basically he's not even there for it's not even 6 months, is it?
No, not even remotely.
It was always really annoying. Andrew would certainly tell you this. Back in the day when, you know, obviously we used to play, you know, loads of, you know, decent cricket, and you have a really good young player and they fuck off to university and you think, oh, God, we've lost them till the end of July. You think, oh, shit, you've lost them for half the season. Yeah. He suddenly said, when you're back, I think it's about a game now.
Oh, yeah.
Second week of May. You think, oh, right, you missed one or two games.
Yeah.
And then they normally come back. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. For the life of me, I don't know how it works. I don't know how,
how
the qualification can compare. It's like, I mean, I didn't go to university. I've got catering qualifications. And we used to do Monday to Friday, 9 in the morning till about 5 in the afternoon for 3 years. And now they get what apparently are equivalent qualifications by just sitting in front of their computer for an hour a week. It just something's not right.
Well, you don't sound old in the slightest.
You're just disgilling.
we don't sound old at all.
In the slightest. So,
I was just going to say something crass, like by March he'll need to have his ridges washed, so he'll have to come home.
So, Loney.
Yes.
Have you been following the Blake Lively saga?
Ish. It bores me, really. I'm not that. It keeps coming up and I keep wondering why anybody's really bothered. And then I like a lot of the nonsense, but this one I can't really engage in. There's this big lawsuit and now Ryan Reynolds is involved, isn't he, or something?
I'm sort of the same as you. My kids are quite interested. They're Hannah and Lucia. Quite interested in it. I'm the same as you. I'm bald shitless for them. Obviously, their brand is a bit shattered now, and the pair of them just need to. Well, I suppose Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds are going to come out worse because they're miles more famous.
Yes, it's strange.
And this bloke who no one really had heard of before this film.
What has supposedly happened? I know what Trump's been up to, but I've no idea what Blake Lively's been up to.
Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds and Justin somebody or other.
Yeah,
what's happened? What's it all about?
Loney, what's it all about?
Well,
you put her on the spot, man. You're the one who brought the subject up. And then
who is he first?
Her.
Who's Blake Lively first?
Right, Andrew, you donut. Blake Lively is an actress, extremely easy on the eyes. She was in Gossip Girl and is an actress. She's married to Ryan Reynolds, who is probably the most powerful and famous man in Hollywood. For you, Andrew, he's Deadpool.
I will Google her. I've heard of Deadpool.
Deadpool. He's Deadpool. They're a massive power couple. She made a film about domestic abuse with some director. It's all gone wrong, which, depending on whichever story you want to believe.
Yeah, he's saying that she was a nightmare to work with. There were rumours before about her being a nightmare to work with.
Yes, about the pair. And then, of course, it's now come in that he's been utterly controlling and wanted to change the narrative. And she's accused him of sexual harassment. He's denying it. And they're both suing each other. And it's an absolute ball buster, isn't it?
It's just, he said, she said. Now her husband has come in and got all involved. And now their nicey-nicey image isn't looking so good.
No, not even doing a Deadpool 7 or whatever you do now. I don't think it's going to save him for a bit. And then it's going into his previous relationship. Well, maybe he was a bastard. He was also, apart from being married to Blake Lively, lucky fucker, he was also married to Scarlett Johansson. Double lucky fucker. He was married to Scarlett Johansson. And then, of course, there's rumours of, did she break them up? Is she a homewrecker? And all the stuff that's got going, and it's like, I bet they both wish they'd never, ever gotten anywhere near it and just basically got on with their lives.
Yeah.
Was that film she was in, was that The End of Us or something?
It Ends with Us,
It Ends with Us. It was that. Yes. That's the film. I knew that was about abuse. but I didn't. Yes. And was it meant to be a bit of a tough watch or?
So yeah, my kids
have seen it. Jackie's seen it. I think Half the Trouble is obviously about, you know, a very touchy subject, and in all the presses she's trying to plug her hair products, and someone's saying it's about domestic abuse. Why are you trying to sell your shampoo? And this sort of stuff, and it's all that sort of stuff, and then it's about, you know, fat shaming, and you know, she's got on weight, she had a baby, and the whole fucking thing is just like a total menagerie.
It sounds like a complete shit show over what really should be sort of nothing in a way, doesn't it?
And they won't be they won't be the first couple or directors on set who hate each other's guts.
Yeah,
and they've had to pretend to be nice to each other, even though they can barely hide it during all the press releases. And just fucking get on with it.
I've got a phone call. I think it's my fridge. Hang on.
Oh, blimey. Okay.
You've got a really smart fridge if it's fridge. Bloody hell.
She's gone off. She's run off and disappeared from the screen. But that doesn't matter because apparently she's not the star of the show. So we can carry on without her.
We can cope ably without her.
Yeah.
Well, like one last series, we got somebody else in.
We did, didn't we? Yeah. Yeah. She was easily as good.
She's easily as good, if not better.
Yeah. So, Stuart, did you watch any films on the plane on the way to...
I didn't. What I did watch was, on Disney Plus, I watched the Bon Jovi documentary.
Oh, is it any good?
It's decent, yeah. It's quite honest. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty honest. So, yeah, it was good, actually.
Yeah.
I would recommend it. It's called Thank You, Good Night. It's a five-parter. And it's, yeah, it's decent. And you forget just how absolutely enormous they were.
Yeah.
I mean, so enormous when you think about it. I mean, on Facebook and people say, I was at the cricket yesterday. I was at the T20 at Newlands in Cape Town. And obviously they have music.
Oh, are you in South Africa again, Stuart?
I might possibly be.
And
the DJ puts on Living on a Prayer, and 25,000 people, just everyone sings it. And you kind of forget.
Yeah.
Just the power of certain songs and certain bands, just absolutely enormous, and how big these things were. And then the sad thing is you think, shit, Living on a Prayer, it's got to be 36, 37 years ago.
Yeah.
Something like that. You think that's depressing.
It's interesting. Yeah, that's what I watched on the plane. Did he come across in it, on the whole?
Yeah, all right. Richard Sambora comes across. You think, well, what's that going to be like? Because are they going to be catty with each other?
Yeah.
Not too bad.
It's interesting. I know there's a band that I really like called Wayward Sons, and the bloke who's in the band is called Toby Jepson, and he used to be in a British rock band called Little Angels, who were pretty big in their time. They
were playing
Hammersmith Apollo and all that sort of thing. And I've spoken to him loads of times because I tend to stalk people when I go and see the gigs, and I see sort of quite small gigs now, and so you can chat to them afterwards and that sort of thing. And he did a couple of small tours and actually big shows with Bon Jovi when he was in Little Angels. And he has nothing but good things to say about him. He said in every single way, shape and form, he was fantastic to them. And when you actually hear it from somebody you're talking to who you know was in that situation, you sort of think, well, that's probably what he was like, rather than getting it secondhand through various talking heads on documentaries or somebody who you don't know who's been interviewed in a magazine. But he always says he was absolutely fantastic to them.
There's one absolutely brilliant story that he comes up with in the first episode, where he's trying, obviously they're from New Jersey, and they're doing the sort of the famous clubs, all that the New Jersey sort of people did. And him and his band are up on stage, and I think he's still at school. He's still at high school.
Yeah,
and out of nowhere, Bruce Springsteen, who's probably in the sort of like a born in the USA phase of, you know, biggest star in the world, comes up on stage and plays with them for an hour or so.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't believe it. I'm up on here. I've got Bruce Springsteen standing next to me playing along.
Yeah.
And he said the next day he had to go back into school and just listen to his teachers say, well, you can't do that. You can't do this. And he's thinking, 24 hours ago, I was up on stage with Bruce Springsteen. I'm not really going to listen to you, pal. You think that must be quite tricky?
Yeah, I should think it must be, yeah.
Well, I obviously didn't miss anything with Blake 7, whoever they are, but I did go... I did go to the cinema and I watched Complete Unknown, the Bob Dylan.
Me too.
Oh, I loved it, Adrian. What did you think?
I thought it was really good. And I'm not the biggest Dylan fan in the world, but I have to say I thought they got the balance of the story and the narrative and everything, and the amount of music that they had was perfect, wasn't it? It was the music was fantastic. I think Timothy really Chalamet is probably a little bit better looking than Bob Dylan was.
He's slightly
definitely better, but he played it really well because it can't be an easy role to play.
Yeah,
and he portrayed Dylan as a bit of an ass, which he probably was.
I thought what was quite interesting was how. Basically, it's sort of the first 3 or 4 years of his musical career from when he arrives in New York from Minnesota up until
North Dakota.
Yeah, up until he gets a band. He's surrounded by an electric band because for the first two and a half, 3 years, it was just him and his guitar and his harmonica. And then he gets a band in, which pisses off all the folk fans and everything. But it was interesting how... They go 1964 when he arrives, 65, and then it jumps to 66 about a year later, and he's gone from being this sort of quite likable, geeky lad from Minnesota to a bit of a bloody, well, a bit of a wanker, wasn't he? You know, when he suddenly won't take his sunglasses off. But the juxtaposition of what he was like to what he became.
Yeah, but that was probably a true reflection of how he was. The only thing that niggled me is the Newport Folk Festival looked like it was filmed in Stuart's back garden with this little stage. And
it wasn't as big as Stuart's back garden.
A few people on deck chairs, but in reality, there was something like 120,000 people at that. So it was a bit misportrayed.
But if you open the gates at the back, you could probably get 120,000.
You could actually, yeah. But that's where you chuckle your. That's where you chuckle your dog shit, isn't it?
I'm not saying I like it. Just saying it's a possibility.
But really recommend that as a film, even if you're a slight Dylan fan.
Yeah,
you'll enjoy
it's
it.
Really worth seeing. And I've got to say, I mean, those not that you forget that they were Bob Dylan songs, but you almost forget how many really well-known songs he's brought and how brilliant they sound in a cinema coming out of those massive speakers.
Lucy
saw it. She really enjoyed it. Loney?
Well, I went back to the cinema and I saw Wicked for the fourth time.
Oh, well done.
Have you really seen it four times?
Four times.
Oh, you twat.
3 times in the cinema. And but I wanted, and my boys came with me, which was very sweet. So it wasn't many teenage boys in there with their mum.
They're probably starting to worry about you.
I know, but the sound was fantastic. But I wanted to say what I watched last night on telly in three parts was the Boyzone documentary.
Fancy watching that.
Yeah, it was good. No. Very interesting. It was good. Very sad. No. But it was good. It certainly showed Ronan Keating was pretty ambitious and pushy.
Yeah.
Wasn't he Batman?
Wait, what?
No, he wasn't Batman, you fool. No.
But it was very good. Sad, but good. Yeah.
Ronan Keating's manager was also in Little Angels, that band I was talking about recently.
Oh, was it David?
Mark Plunkett. Mark Plunkett. He was the bass player in Little Angels, yeah.
Oh, he came across very well, actually.
Oh, yeah, he's just a normal Yorkshireman, isn't he?
Yeah, Louis Walsh came across as a bit of a dick. But
what's going on with Louis Walsh's hair?
His hair, you should see on the documentary. His hair is
I watched something very similar, actually. I watched the one about the bloke who ran that Ponzi scheme in America off the back of Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, Dirty Pop, it's called. It's obviously a similar story about they've obviously made gajillions and they haven't got two pennies to rub together. And he's running this enormous Ponzi scheme off the back of their money, paying back the mob. That's also quite a good watch.
What's that one called?
It's called Dirty Pop. It's on, I think it's on Netflix. I think it was.
That sounds interesting. I watched
obviously the massive list. Did I say this last time? Did I say about the Jerry Springer documentary?
Oh, I watched.
Yes, you did last time.
Brilliant.
So that's two parts. First part's been there. But the other one I watched a couple of nights ago, which actually makes you quite angry. is the documentary that's just come onto Netflix about O.J. Simpson. It's a fucking joke.
Yeah.
How they managed to get him off.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so unbelievably guilty. And also the state of the two bodies, of Nicole Brown, obviously his wife, and the lad, who Ron was, whatever his name was, who got killed. I mean, the bloke almost had his like head severed off. It's not just I've stabbed you a couple of times, I'm all shit, you know. He's absolutely disgraceful. And the stuff at the scene is like basically there's his blood, there's her blood, there's O.J. Simpson's blood. And it's splattered everywhere. No, not guilty.
Honestly, not guilty.
You watch it, it's just like it's an absolute joke.
They did a parody in Blackadder 4 when he's up for desertion, and he says to this guy, go and get me Bob Massingberg, and you know that because that was soon after, and he says, Bob Massingberg. He says, yes, you know, the one who got Oscar Wilde put away, and the local story goes, big butch Oscar.
It's unbelievable when you watch it again. You think it's actually just a joke.
I watched a great thing last night on John Daly.
The
golfer is brilliant. I think he's my new hero. He went on a diet that consisted of 3 packs of Marlboros a day, a bottle of whiskey, 30 cans of Diet Coke a day, and popcorn. That's all he had, and he lost 65 pounds.
No, you've got £65 at hand gambling, Stoker. That's not £65. That's what his bar bill was every day, £65, just to get the fags.
He lost £55 million gambling.
And
there's a great story that his wife, he was having an argument with the wife in the car coming back from the casino, and he had £60,000 or something in cash in the car, and his wife was saying, you've got to stop gambling, and he got irate, and so he threw the cash out the window.
And the other thing I've been watching, I've started to watch Night Agent 2, which is the new...
And AJ watched that. I wasn't that thrilled with the number one.
I will watch to the end of it. The girl in it annoys the shit out of me. She's so annoying.
Can we have a chat about Love Island?
Why you're here.
Yeah,
that's why you're here.
Somehow this is how you become so popular.
But how many people are watching it with me?
I've got to be honest, I didn't even know it was on.
Yeah, it's the All Stars. So it is actually quite good. But there's one that's driving me crazy. I don't know if you've ever watched it. Her name's Ekin Sue.
I have heard of her, but I've heard of her because it's such a ridiculous name. Yeah.
So annoying.
But they sent them away to some exotic villa somewhere in the sun?
South Africa, you can probably see them from your house. You probably
Is this the one they always go to? I think it's out near Stellenbosch.
It looks gorgeous, but it always
looks in the wine lands. It's in the wine lands.
Yeah.
You said it's the all-star version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you say all-star, have we heard of any of them apart from Ekin Su? Have they got what's his name on it? Tyson Fury's brother?
No, he's not on it. Somebody that was on the show with him is in it. I think he might have done Strictly. Curtis, he's a dancer.
So are they all winners who have gone back like for a champion of champions type thing?
No, some of them were winners, but most of them just trying to get back in there again. Like one of them, this is third try, and they were just quite entertaining. They were in there before, so it's an easy watch. I just like it's rubbish.
I couldn't find it an easy watch. I'd just be effing and jeffing all the way through it, throwing things at the TV.
Well, this suits you because you've got them. You've basically got Tourette's, haven't you, lady? Which is why I think I like you so much, because they can relate to your swearing and drinking.
Oh, dry January finished. Oh,
has it gone? It's gone damp to thoroughly wet.
Oh, it really has.
Well, it's February now.
the Sunday, it was Bailey's, red wine, white wine. I went back to Christmas Day. But no, I am going to try and be a bit better still. But
did you actually stick to it? Dry January.
I got to.
No, it wasn't dry January then at all.
Well,
it was just January.
I was always going to do to the 24th of January because my friend and I, that's her birthday.
Right.
So, but I was secretly not going to tell her that I was going to carry on to the 30th. But then I went out with three girls from college, two of my friends who were doing the porn star martinis. And I joined them on the 24th. So,
were you weak?
Yeah, I was a bit weak. But yes, I'm glad it's done. But it's made me think a bit, you know, I will be a bit more steady. I'm not going to drink during the week. I am going to keep to that.
That's the biggest load of around. Bollocks I've ever heard.
Yeah, unless someone comes round and you fancy just basically shit-faced. Because
occasional glass of wine, but not so much.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's I had several pints of Courage Best on Saturday.
Did you? Oh,
yes.
I'll tell you, listeners, this is definitely the podcast to share with your friends.
Well, I haven't drunk that in 30 years.
Oh, well, it is the very whole, nice.
The whole world, it was lovely. I went to the Alton Rugby Club, my local rugby club, to watch England Ireland, and was delighted to see Courage Best on because it was everywhere in my childhood. But I haven't had it for years.
No,
and Ireland won, didn't they? Yeah.
They did, unfortunately.
Yes. Sorry, I'm just. Can we just? Why are you so happy about that? Lonely?
Because my mum's Irish from Tipperary.
I would say, yeah.
Because that's why she's got the green jumper, which says "Plastic Paddy" on it.
Yeah.
Plastic.
Like, Plastic Paddy.
I didn't watch it because I went to a lower league football match on Saturday. It was really enjoyable, actually.
Dunstable.
No, it was even lower than that. It was Hadley.
Even low.
Hadley. Yeah, versus some small town in Oxfordshire. I can't even remember what they were called. They play
Abingdon.
No, smaller than Abingdon. They play in the division below the Isthmian League, whatever that is. I can't even remember what it was. It was good, though. It was nice.
And was it good? What was the score?
It was 3-0 to Hadley, which is good. Hadley isn't even a town. It's just a posh part of Barnet. Yeah, so yeah, it was very nice.
Is there a posh part of Barnet?
Well, apart from this road, let me have a think. Yeah. Hadley's full of houses that probably are worth 20 million. Massive houses, yeah. Yeah.
Now we're getting into Simmons territory.
Lots of footballers used to live up there.
I know that road.
Yeah, there's lots of them up there. It's
Bradley coming in on that road in a couple of
Bradley
weeks.
Walsh.
I've managed to somehow decide to take a ticket for Arsenal in a couple of weeks' time.
Oh, dear.
Stupid decision, Stuart. But I will do. So I may well park near there and get in.
Oh, yeah, because you park near there and go to Cotfosters Tube Station.
Yeah, you go to the top of the thing. Lonely.
Do you like the way I'm putting my hand up?
It's like being back at school.
Just about, I was going to say about when you said about Arsenal. Henry, two of his friends coming over from America, and they really are big Man United fans. So they bought tickets for Man
United.
I can't believe the price of the tickets, not only the price of the tickets, the price of the booking fee. I think were about 150 each. And in the booking fee was £160 booking fee. What on earth is that?
Making the total ticket price 160 quid.
Pardon?
Making the total price 300 or...
Yeah,
I think it's 160 for the booking for the three tickets. But even so, I think that's...
160 for three tickets?
The booking fee.
Hang on a minute.
So 150 times three plus 160.
Yes.
Right, yes. Bloody. Well, the thing is, if they're coming over from America, they've obviously got these tickets from some sort of agency.
No, and Henry had to buy them here.
Yeah, but they must have come from some sort of agency rather because, like, for instance, when I get a ticket from Tottenham, to be able to get a ticket via the club, which is the cheapest way of doing it, you sort of have to be a member of the club and all that sort of thing.
So what
sounds like the sort of thing that I go watching now.
Well, that's what he's decided to do. He's decided to do because of your... when you didn't get your season ticket. Now so it was cheap.
He won travel.
He's gone for that way.
Yeah.
I mean, you should be able to get a ticket. And I've been able to get tickets for everything that I do. But I mean, when I watch now, it's full of tourists. You know, it's nice in one way because you don't get what you would classify. Everywhere you sit, if you get the ground, if you have a season ticket, sitting behind an absolute arsehole or in front of an arsehole. Obviously, clearly we're not. We know anything about football.
Oh,
but, I used to have a couple of people behind me. You know that, Spanky.
Yeah.
A couple of people behind us. They're just such dickheads.
Yeah. Know nothing about it.
Worse. Oh, it's just, what fucking game are you watching? So you don't get that, but it isn't the... It's not what you sort of grow up. And I'm going to have a riot on mode about football now.
Oh,
this
go
is
on.
Really, this is really...
Hang on, I'm just going to get myself comfortable.
Comfortable.
Well, the Americans should have gone to Pompey. It's only 30 quid.
Well, yeah, but then it's you want to go to the Premier League, Andrew.
And Manu, they're big Manu.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, they won't be soon because they'll be playing Pompey in a couple of years. I am getting thoroughly pissed off. Not that I'm ever going to be able to do anything about it. I went, the amount of people, I don't drink much, and I obviously used to drink a bit more when I was younger, but I don't drink much. The amount of people who don't watch the game, because 10 minutes before the game, they're up out of their seats, they're going to queue up for the drink. Games now are all having like 5 minutes extra time, so you're missing 15 minutes of the first half. So then don't we... The last three games I've been to at the London Stadium, when the second half has kicked off, and this is no exaggeration, I reckon the ground is half empty.
Yeah, yeah.
It is genuinely half empty.
Yeah.
Because people are either still having a drink, can't get a drink, waiting. I know they've only got, they'll say, well, there's only, you know, fucking three people serving behind the bar you want to get. But I mean, Christ, do you really need to have a drink that much?
Yeah.
Is your capacity. And then a couple of Saturdays ago, just before I came here, I was struggling to get to the airport in time. So I had to leave about 20 minutes before the end when we played Palace, which didn't matter because we could have played there for another 5 hours. And we were never going to score and we were atrocious. So it wasn't a problem leaving 20 minutes early. But the amount of people I passed as I walked back down the stairs to go down who just were carrying on drinking and not watching the game. You think you've paid so much money for these tickets. They're not cheap. He's just drinking.
I know.
You're not even watching the game.
I went to the Spurs-Leicester match, which was very depressing, but where I had my brother's ticket because he couldn't go, and he sits on the end of a row near one of the stairwells that goes down.
Well, it beats up all the time.
Well, honestly, Stuart, after
like doing squats.
10 minutes into the match, people start getting up and going out.
Yeah.
And it's because football's basically full of middle-aged blokes and they're all having two or three pints before the match starts. And, of course, they all need a wee. And it's just this constant stream of people going in and out. Yeah. And then, like you say, after about 39 minutes, they're all getting up and going down for half-time. And Leicester scored. It was really made my bloody blood boil, but they scored about 2 minutes and then 5 minutes into the second half. And half the bloody stadium, like you said, didn't see those
still
goals going because they were still at the goal making their way up.
That was the same when Palace scored.
It doesn't happen in rugby at all. You just have a pee in the pocket of the guy next to you.
And you can drink on the terrace, can't you, in rugby?
Yeah.
I know. And I know the clubs have decided, clubs have said, we make so much money on the concourse. This is part of our business model. But it's so frustrating.
What are the demographics in South Africa between football and rugby?
Traditionally...
you're going to be steady how you describe this, haven't you?
Football is the game of the blacks, the black population. And the crowds aren't massive. They're not huge. I mean, we had a big Soweto derby here the other day, but it's a few thousand, but not massive. And the rugby population is much more mixed than it used to be. And obviously, where Western Province used to play next to the cricket ground, they've sold, and they've now gone into the big stadium, which used to be the Olympic Stadium.
Yeah.
The Stormers and Western Province play there now. I might possibly see if I can go Saturday, because there's a game on. And it's good, to be fair.
What would you pay for a Western Province rugby ticket?
Nothing. I know, this football is just, it's like a kind of one-off, isn't it? Yes.
Why was it called the Olympic Stadium? They've never held the Olympics
in South
Africa.
Not the Olympics, sorry, the World Cup Stadium.
Oh, the World Cup Stadium, right.
Sorry, okay. World Cup Stadium, minus mistake.
Right, okay.
Sorry,
keep your dog under control.
And the dog's in the room.
Oh, I'll tell you what. We've been blabbering on for quite a while now, so why don't we go for our first break, and then Loney can sort out our delivery man, and then we'll be back in a bit. So we'll see you after the break. And we're back again. That was actually a longer break. I mean, you'll hear the bit of music, hopefully, if Alex remembers to put it in. But that was actually about a 25-minute break, because Ilona's just had a lovely new fridge freezer delivered, haven't you?
I have, but it's a disaster. Because
why is that?
The one they're taking out has a water filter and an ice machine, and the ice machine has been a bit broken, so hence why we were getting rid of it. But
so you got rid of the fridge because you couldn't get ice out of it?
No, it was a useless fridge anyway, but I'm going to put it in my garage, so hang on to it, but I need the water to go into the garage. But they've come in and we've turned the water off, and they're trying to attach the pipe, detach it, and they couldn't, so they've cut it, and then the water is just pouring. I've had to get
there was no water left in the system at all.
So I'm a bit worried, because it's not just clearing out the pipes, it's like full on pouring out, and these guys have cut the
that must be that the little isolator tap that they've turned off probably isn't working properly.
I don't think it can be.
Yeah, they're not very good, those things. They're quite good for I'll just turn this off while I detach it and then reattach it, but sometimes they're not great.
So
what's happening at the moment? Are they there with a mop and bucket?
Well, my sister-in-law is, because I had to turn around. And I rang AJ, so he's got the right hump, because he's at work. And I'm trying.
I can imagine that.
He's got the right hump. He's getting really miserable in his old ages.
Well, then I said, can they cut it? And he's like, what? I don't know what I'm talking about with cutting. But anyway.
But basically, you've given him a phone call for something that he has absolutely no control.
Can't do anything about.
Or ability to do anything about.
Just ruined his work day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm worried if you didn't. I'm going to throw Mrs. Simmons under the bus now, because just before we started this, she went in and she locked the door to go, you know, it's not feeling so good. So she went to lock the door in the bathroom and then keeps whacking on the door because she can't get out. I'm like, I can't actually do anything about this to help you. I can't get in, because if I could get in, I'd have to undo the bolt. How is this my fault? How is this my problem? And she's like banging on the door. I was thinking, I can't actually do anything to help you, you've done.
You've got to try if your loved one's stuck in the toilet.
But when you think, I can't actually, there's nothing to do with me, you've basically just got to open the bolt.
Making that phone call meant that it was AJ's idea to cut it, not mine. So if anything goes wrong, I can blame
it. It was yours.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how life works.
I dread to think what's going on. And then, because I wanted the fridge to move into the garage, I didn't know how I was going to do it. So I said to them, any chance you could move the other one for me? And they were sort of looking at each other. And I said, 20 quid.
All right.
All the time. You always have 20 or 30 quid. Listen, can you do this? Go on then. What's up here?
Well, it was 10 quid extra from Costco just to plug this in. So I thought, well, mind you, I don't think they're too thrilled with me at the moment. But hey-ho.
Can you just get yourself an ice machine?
We don't really use that much ice.
Or just put a bag of ice cubes in the bottom of your freezer.
Cost of pounds.
Yeah. That's
When we looked into getting a new fridge freezer, which we did eventually get about, I don't know, 6-8 months ago, the guy in the shop, we didn't get it from a shop. We looked at them in a shop, but bought them online. He said, we didn't have the space for a massive one, but we got quite a big one. He said, if you have the water and the ice in the door, it just takes up loads of space.
Yeah, it does. It does.
So he said, if you're really looking for as big a fridge as possible in the smallest space, don't get the ice and water. So we didn't.
Well, I'm gonna big up Hannah and Lucy Simmons here, because it was unfortunately my birthday the other day, and they've sent something on the before I left, and there's this big box on the top that's come for me. I'm sitting there thinking, I haven't got a clue.
Oh, that arrived on Wednesday.
Huh?
That was there when we were there.
Yeah, it was.
Yes. Yeah, listen, I don't know what... I think, what is this? I can't open it until we do FaceTime. So anyway, eventually comes, open it up, and I think, I know I'm really, really hard to fight for. I know I'm a nightmare. And it's normally tickets and this sort of stuff. Yeah. And so I looked in it, so I eventually opened it up. Ice machine.
Oh,
boom. Ice machine.
Boom. Absolutely love it.
That's a good idea.
Oh, just watching it make art ice. Nothing. Can't wait for the summer. Oh,
dear.
I'll be having ice in March.
What world do we live in?
No need to go spend a pound on a bag of ice.
Hey, why spend a pound on a bag of ice when you can spend 200 quid on a machine?
It doesn't get better than that. I think, oh, can't wait for the summer.
Oh my God.
The thing is, though, Stu, when I go round to your house and I think, oh, I fancy a can of Coke, you've got that fridge outside in your barbecue area that's just got ice cold cans of Coke in it.
Yeah, yeah, but you need ice. You have to have ice.
I think it's psychosomatic to have ice, though, because...
Yeah, I think it's just ice. You've got to have ice.
Oh, right, okay. You spent too much time in hot climates, I think.
Yes.
California, all about the ice. Ice, so much ice. Everybody wants the ice in California.
Don't have the ice. Yeah. Lots of ice, please.
But not when you're going. Stop. Not when you stop it. Not when you're going to somewhere with when they, you know, if you go into a pub and you want a pint of Coke out of the cup, and they say, "Do you want ice?" They are, "I want two cubes," and that's it.
Yes, I'll only have four cubes max. Yeah.
Otherwise, they fill the bloody thing up, don't they?
Like some Coke in my drink.
Yeah.
I know. It's the equivalent, isn't it? Like, you know, how much head on your beard do you want? You know, actually, we can fill it with beer. So we're doing that. So who's been in very, very large trouble recently that we've seen in the press? Anybody been really bad?
Let me think. Prince Andrew? Prince Andrew's in all sorts
Prince
of trouble,
Andrew,
isn't he?
He's always in trouble.
From what I read about, he's been telling Porky's. Now, I didn't see this coming.
Never.
Man of proper repute and all this sort of stuff. It came out that there's a court case going on at the moment, something to do with a financier taking someone to court about his supposed role or not role in the Jeffrey Epstein saga. And about he's saying he's been tarnished with the brush he should have done, because really he had nothing to do with Epstein. So anyway, he's released a load of emails. There's emails between Prince Andrew and Jeffrey Epstein, which are quite a bit later than he said on his interview of, "Oh no, I didn't have anything to do with him.
He
I
said
did this,
he...
I did that." No.
Did he say his last contact was in December and these emails were like 2 months later in February?
About 6 months later or something. And it's his comment, I look forward to seeing you. We can have some fun or something like that. You're like, oh, no, dear. No. So, yeah. And all this stuff about, I hadn't seen him for a while and I only went over there. You're thinking, just get yourself a huge shovel, Andrew, and just dig yourself a bigger and deeper hole.
It must be. Complete nightmare for the king, isn't it? An absolute nightmare to have this.
He's just a gift that keeps on giving, isn't he? It just doesn't. I also read something about him the other day, because Fergie did something and she said that in the last few years of her life with her dad, Major Ferguson or whatever, with his huge eyebrows or whatever he had, she said...
Was his name Ron? Ronald Ferguson?
Ronald Ferguson. Yes. She basically said he was... Her father in the last few years, she had to sort of look after him because he was a really sad and lonely and depressed man. And then she said, basically, the same as my husband.
Oh.
So that's how he's sort of rolling now.
It is... Someone saw him at the weekend in riding a horse in Windsor Great Park, looking very miserable.
God, they say nurses have it tough. Honestly,
yeah,
riding a horse in Windsor Great Park,
looking as miserable as Simba. He can't go anywhere. He can't do anything. He's disgraced.
As he rides his horse in his country estate, I know, terrible.
Yeah, he's just a complete fool, isn't he? I mean, how can you? If it's not dodgy Americans, it's bloody Chinese spies, isn't it?
I mean,
these people must look at him and think he's influential and as thick as two short planks. I'll get in there.
Yeah.
And he'll do anything for money. And so will she.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need this and you've got to pay. I mean, what must it be like if you suddenly, someone wants, you know, make an introduction? Well, it's going to cost you £500,000 if you want me to put in a good word with X, Y, and Z. And, yeah, I'll take that. That's not wrong at all. That's absolutely fine.
Yeah, Bring it on. It's shocking,
very
isn't
it? Naive, it strikes me, that he thought he was going to get away with it. Very naive.
Yeah.
Full of confidence of that interview. Oh, it's going to be, you know, very naive, I thought.
I suppose he spent his whole life having people giving him the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, and he's so sheltered, isn't he? Probably into it. Oh, look, she's got bloody quality. Oh, but we can't get them, can we? That's how daft I am. I saw that tin of Quality Street come on the screen. That, oh, I quite fancy one.
Oh, I love some of them.
Sadly, she's about 60 miles away.
Sounds right.
And she's an awful lot further from me.
Yeah. I'm going through his stuff.
And she's got that tin. Oh, I like a handful of those.
Yeah.
I've had lunch as usual.
She's a feeder. Every time I see her, I think of food.
Does feed. Yeah, listeners, she is a feeder. She comes around and brings goodies.
I do like her. Yeah, to feed people, it's true.
Yeah, it's very good. So, has anybody seen the photos last night from the Grammys?
Oh, very brief.
Yes. Oh,
what is wrong with these people? I've got a big downer on America at the moment for obvious reasons. So much so I don't even want to talk about the country. But the Grammys just drives me mental. They drives me mad. I mean, how can Kendrick Lamar win five? The bloke's useless. It just drives me bloody potty, the whole thing. Why don't they have decent bloody bands on at the Grammys? And
the winner of the 2025 Grammy, wait, what's up?
That's what you
see. Beyonce won the best country album.
Oh, just it must drive just, all yeah, these country bands.
She's picked up a load of stuff. Let's give her the country album.
Yeah.
But it's the costumes. I mean, I haven't seen it. And of course, the first thing you see this morning, I know that Kanye West is as mad as a hatter.
Yeah.
And has clearly lost the plot.
Speaking of hatters.
Well, exactly. We'll come to hatters later. What the fuck is his so-called wife or girlfriend wearing? She's she's just turned up in a shrink
naked.
Wrap.
Naked.
Naked.
I'm a big fan of that. big fan of that.
Total unnecessary nudity is a big tick in the box.
It is ridiculous. And you wonder what... That girl never speaks either, does she? She's like real-life... mannequin.
That
she doesn't need to.
But I've never heard her speak.
No, he just drags her around these places. And
he bosses her around and tells her what to do.
I've got to be honest. I read the autobiography of Graham Nash, who was in Crosby, Stills and Nash. And he said that in David Crosby's house back in the late 60s and early 70s, there were just these two naked girls who just wandered around the house, not talking, just wandered about servicing David Crosby and his mates, you know, and I suppose she's just like a modern day version of David Crosby's naked women. Graham Nash said they didn't even have names, these girls. They were just there as like objects to just, you know. It's a very good book. You should read it.
I know. It's the whole thing. I'm going to think. And if you're the Grammys, surely, without trying to sound like a really old middle-aged twat, but someone on the doors just say, "I'm sorry, you're not coming in."
Yeah.
Mm. Well, she had a big program, didn't she? Until she got actually to her moment.
Did she?
It saves weeks of what am I going to wear? Does my bum look big in this? It saves all
does my
that malarkey.
Big in the street rap?
And you just go naked. It's perfect.
I mean, Will Smith's children look ridiculous. There's Jaden. Jaden Smith had like a foam castle on his head. I mean, not like on his head. It was like a balaclava castle.
So it was made around his head,
enveloped his head. And his sister basically had her underwear on with a coat
on
top.
She's got knickers on.
And what's going on with her teeth? Is that like a...
Oh, her teeth look terrible, don't they? She's got some sort of a red crown and a green crown or something. I mean,
yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, extraordinary.
It looks terrible.
Why are you even there? What have they done?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I suppose not everybody is up for an award, are they? They have
an invitation.
They were probably, you know, rent a celebs for the night, weren't they?
But they've got us talking about them, though, haven't they?
Well, that's it.
Yeah,
and that's obviously why they do this, isn't it?
Mm.
And he probably got
paid. Who's this Lamar character you're talking about? I've heard of Hedley Lamar.
Kendrick Lamar. Yeah. He's one of the world's biggest selling rap artists, isn't he? Also, I've got to be honest, I don't really know anything about him.
Is he playing the Super Bowl this year?
It was him, wasn't it?
No, not from Blazing Saddles, Stuart. Hedley Lamar was a very famous actress in the 20s.
I know, but if you watch Blazing Saddles, wasn't someone called Hedley Lamar?
Yes, the governor. Yeah. The governor was.
Exactly.
And Sparky comic in the 1970s used to have a character called Heavy Lamar, and she was a really
heavy
big fat,
Lamar.
She was a big fat girl who used to steal pies, and you can't put things like that in comics anymore, can you?
Something classically out of Vince.
Yeah, they
steal pies.
You're not allowed to get away with now.
No, you couldn't do that now. No,
absolutely not.
I watched an old interview on Saturday night of Wogan. I don't know how, it was the end of the night, a couple of Baileys in, and I found Wogan interviewing Rock Hudson back in 84, I think it was.
Yeah.
Well, Rock Hudson, he was gorgeous, wasn't he?
He's so handsome, wasn't he? He was so handsome.
And it was a really nice interview, actually. It was good. And Terry Wogan, I thought, yeah, it was quite nice to be a bit...
Before his AIDS or...
Yes.
Well, it's probably
before AIDS.
Yeah, he was good, actually.
About a year or so before he was such a handsome
He died player. The following year, actually, because I was trying to...
Yeah, and of course he got it quickly and it went very quickly.
Yeah, well, there was no treatment,
was
there?
He was about 59 or something when he died.
Yeah, he was young.
Yeah.
I really like films from that era, you know, like when he's in films with Doris Day and stuff like that. It just reminds me of watching films on a Sunday afternoon at home with my mum, you know, all those
Amity
sort of things.
Jane, I could see that in Brighton, actually, the stage... I loved Calamity Jane, all of that.
But you can see one of the powers of being Hollywood. Just obviously, you know, it comes out that obviously he's totally gay and always has been.
Mm-hmm.
Then the whole thing with him and Doris Day is a fallacy. They won't sell. No one's going to go and see them anymore.
Mm.
Because what's the point?
The big thing about this Boyzone documentary yesterday was how awful it was when Stephen Gately was...
You just can't be.
Everything, and how nervous he was every day in case he was going to get found out. And then, you know, and when he did come out, the fans were fantastic, you know. So, but the media were absolutely awful, the way they were forcing him. You have to watch it anyway, I won't tell you anymore.
No, I think those documentaries are really good. And sometimes it does give you a little bit more sympathy with some of them.
Yeah.
Celebrities, when you realise what the media is like.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely.
The media is savage. I mean, now, there is the argument of you've made a deal with the devil. I don't feel particularly sorry for Victoria Beckham, because you have made a deal, Meghan Markle and the like, you have made a deal with the devil and you're going to have to take what comes with
it.
But sometimes it's just your quest for fame, it ain't worth it.
No.
That book, The House of Beckhams, I'm finding it hard going.
Yeah, it gets a bit long. He starts going, well, how far into it are you?
Well, chapter 5 or something. But I'm
Oh, for fuck's sake, give it up then. Give it up. You'll get to the end.
Because I'm just in the new Boss advert. And
oh, the Boss advert. Oh, my God, yeah, that'll be.
There's a very good article, apparently. Jane says, I've got to read in the Guardian about that whole advert and everything like that. And he's talking about basically, it's about what your average British man would be like sitting in his pants on the sofa.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your normal 51-year-old bloke or whatever he is, sitting in his undies. You know, he's got a decent body, whether you like the tax or not. I happened to see that advert last night and think, well, fair play, David.
Fair play. So what were you going to say, Stabag? You had your hand.
I wondered if we're now part of the media.
Are we part of the media?
We're definitely run people down. I just don't think that we get quite the coverage that a lot of media.
Yeah, possibly. Well, give us a bit of time.
Yeah,
give us a couple of years, and we will be. But we won't. I mean, let's face it. When we get our first lawsuit, we've cracked it.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're all able to go to the solicitors, putting our houses on the market to pay our share of the bill. Then that's absolutely. That's absolutely.
Yeah. Will you pay my share for me, Stuart?
No.
No, honestly. It's the only reason I hang around with you is for when the lawsuit turns up.
If you go to the this husband's going to get really pissed off when she finds him without a fridge. You phone up to tell him she's been live and slander.
Yeah, that'd be a disaster, wouldn't it? So we're going to have a quiz soon.
Well, I hope so.
Have you got one, Stuart? Have you got a quiz we can do?
I have got a quiz. It's a damn good one.
Is it? Excellent. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go off for our final break. I'll pop the kettle on because I really fancy a cough. And then we'll come back. We'll do the quiz. We'll have a bit of a natter afterwards. And then we'll let you get out into the sun because you're starting to get a bit pale now, Stuart. And
I'm concerned. It's up the tank. I need to get the scab up.
I've had a very good start to the quizzing year with several victories.
And us as well.
I'm not hopeful for these quizzes. No.
Well, we did a quiz the other day at Jane's Tennis Club, and the guy who did the quiz, he's actually been on a few quizzes on the telly, so he is a bit of a quizzer. And it was really good and imaginative, but you would have hated it, Andrew, because it had a couple of rounds in it where nobody would really know the answer. So one of the rounds, for instance, was, is this an Audi brand or a Selfridges brand? And so he was coming up with brands that nobody's ever heard of. And so it was a bit of guessing going on. I didn't like that. And then on the last round, it was if you got one question wrong, you got naught completely. So you couldn't.
The wipeout round. Oh, we
didn't like
those.
That at all. But we won. We won. After that first round as well, we were. Yeah, the first round where you had to do the Audi thing, we were coming last by quite a long way. So once he started having a few normal rounds, we stormed into the lead and we won.
Yeah, myself and the lovely Mrs. Simmons, we went off for just a Tuesday night. We went off for a nice, but there's a really lovely sort of cafe restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, about 5 minutes from where we live. So we walked up to it, started eating, and then the great sound come out and said, right, it's Tuesday night quiz night. And I'm like, yes. And then I thought, oh my God, all the questions are going to be South African. So basically, I just think, shit, I've got no chance. Every other, I'm either going to have to put Nelson Mandela or Alan Donald down for every question that I don't really know the answer for. And it was all right. And then they did a couple of music rounds. And then, of course, I started getting really cocky.
Yeah.
And they started, so can I get an extra point if I can tell you what their real name is and all this sort of stuff? And Jackie was giving me that look of stopping the wanker.
Yeah, I get that look a lot. Okay,
you get so that a lot.
We're going to go for a break and we'll see you in a couple of minutes.
It's
Stuart.
It's my Zoom time. It's quiz time.
It sounded like Mr. Tumble.
If I knew who he was, that would be fine.
You've got to know who Mr. Tumble is.
Mr. Tumble?
Yeah. He's a character played by Justin. He's on CBC, CBeebies.
Okay. Yeah, I know my kids watch CBeebies.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, I digress.
It's quiz time.
Excellent.
I've come up with a very, very excellent quiz. 20 questions
20
about
Christ.
People's nicknames. What? And hang on a second. I know you can't listen to this at home. Andrew is pointing viciously at some sort of book he's got.
Some sort of book. This is a beautiful... It's from the Pan Pacific in London. Lovely hotel. And Leslie's made me this lovely thing with seals on it. Wax seals.
Oh, right. Is that for you to put your quiz answers in?
That's for me to put the quiz answers in to bring me better luck this year than I had last year.
So you'll be bringing it down to Stuart?
Yes, definitely.
I should look forward to seeing it. Yes,
I'm looking forward to seeing it. Good luck today, Andrew, with the quiz. This is if you go around like this in your quiz, Andrew, it wouldn't be unusual.
Ah, good.
So it wouldn't be unusual here. 20 questions with a bonus question at the end, a 21st question, just in case it's a tie, all to do with nicknames.
Excellent.
Nicknames.
Seeing as nicknames basically are normally you can put a Y or an O on someone's name.
Yeah.
Cobber.
Well, basically...
That's an ER.
Yes. It's you're Spank, so you had a straight.
You mean like Stoko, Simo.
Stoko.
Yeah.
are basically, you know, wakey. So basically, we're having a particular...
Loney,
and this sort of stuff. We could basically, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I've suspected various times in our lives we've all been called worse.
Sorry to interrupt. There's a cricket book. I can't remember who it was, but they went through the England cricket team nicknames at the back of it. Have you read that one, Stuart? And it was in the Hick era, and everyone was Hickey, Smithy,
Hickey, Thorpey, Smithy,
Thorpey, every Adam, single one. And then every single one was IE.
Yes.
And no, the last one, and the number 11 was Gus Fraser. Gus.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, there would have been, at that time, there would have been Tuffers.
Tuffers?
That was Gucci. It was after Tuffers.
But wasn't Graham Hick? Was Graham Hick after Tuffers? Anyway, it doesn't matter. We're getting off the subject.
Off the subject. 20 questions. Anyway, 20 questions.
It is, it's eyes down. Get your pens ready. Pens
okay.
And paper.
So are you giving the nickname or do we have to give the nickname?
I am giving the nickname, what they are universally known as.
Okay.
And you have to put the answer. They're very easy.
Before we start, Stuart, don't hold that book in front of your mouth because it blocked my microphone then. Okay.
I'll have to put my goggles on.
Good.
It sounds like it's going to be harder if we've got...
It's not, Loney.
And they're all from the 70s and 80s.
No, they're all from, you know, whenever. They're just very, very famous nicknames.
Famous nicknames. Okay. And we get the real person.
Yes, exactly. So, for example, question number one, who is universally known as the boss?
Oh, right.
Oh,
okay.
I know. Even I know that one.
Was that
there you go.
Okay.
The boss. Number one. Number two. Old Blue Eyes.
Old Blue Eyes. Oh, I'm off to a flyer.
Yeah.
Number three, the Queen of Soul.
Yeah.
In this round, Loney, it's very, very hard to get half a point. you'll manage it because it's a skill you have.
Okay, I will, I'm sure.
She'll manipulate it.
She will. Number four, Beefy.
Pardon?
Beefy.
Oh, it's got to be a sportsman, isn't it?
Could be. He could like his shredded wheat.
Give us clues.
Andrew.
Oh, it's Loney. You've got to be nice
to
her.
Thank you. And
there's a couple of tricky ones here. Number five, the King of Rock and Roll. The King of Rock and Roll.
There can only be one, surely.
Well, will there be? That's the question, mate. It's 20, don't forget. Number six. Queen Bey.
Who?
Queen who?
B-E-Y. Bey. B.
Oh, right, okay.
Queen B?
Yeah.
B by B-E-Y. I don't know how you pronounce
Leave
it.
Leave it at that.
I might need help with that. I might need help with that, Lona.
No, don't help him, Loney.
Might need a clue.
No quizzes.
Queen right. Bee. Queen Bee.
Number seven.
Did we mention a country album?
Number seven. The Queen of Pop.
Queen of Pop.
Queen of Pop.
Hasn't she got another nickname?
Probably by her ex-husbands, possibly.
Yeah. Well, no. I'll say...
Yes, what, possibly. Yes.
Yeah, a one-syllable one, yeah.
A one-syllable one. Number eight. You'll like this one, Loney.
Yeah.
Lilibet.
Oh.
So that's the name. Nicknames.
I was a bit distracted.
I know that one.
Number nine, the Italian Stallion.
Oh, yes. You have to say your second name, Loney.
The Italian Stallion.
The Italian Stallion.
Pornography is my clue.
No. That's coming later, Andrew.
Bark it up the wrong tree there.
One's probably the answer actually for either name or film character. But anyway, number 10, Duke.
Duke. Oh, I know this. Duke. Who is it?
Yeah.
Who was Duke? Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Number
11,
The Little Tramp.
Oh, yeah.
Don't know that one.
Oh, hang on. I'm still on Duke at home.
I'll leave one more after that.
What was 11?
The Little Tramp.
The Little Tramp.
The Little Tramp. Number 12. If you don't get this, there's something wrong with you. The Muscles from Brussels.
Oh, everyone knows that.
You certainly should do.
Slightly worried about my spelling.
We'll let you off that.
You're really going to be worried about this one. From I'll give you a slight clue from American, you know, from North American sport here. The great one.
Blimey. The great one.
Universally in North America known as the great one.
I'm going to guess.
The great one.
The great one.
I don't know that.
Anyone who came after him was called the next one.
Okay.
Lucy's Andy, if you're listening in America, that's one for you there. You'll definitely get that one.
Oh,
number 14, Air. A-I-R.
Oh, Air.
Air.
No idea.
Oh.
Known as Air.
That's who I put for number 13. I think it might be the same person.
Oh, yes. No, different sport.
Oh. Air.
Air.
Never.
As in,
never.
Well, good job it's not a Wednesday night, Andrew.
Yeah, it is. I've never heard of Air.
Good. Number 15 started as his nickname, became his stage name, The Rock.
Oh, that bloke.
The Rock.
What's his name again?
Well, that's what you've got to tell us. That's kind of kind of what we're playing with there, Stoke.
Oh, yeah, I know that fella. What's his name?
What's his name? I know who you mean. I can see him.
I know who you mean. I can sense it in my head, but basically I can't. I'll take half a point. Number 16, the Godfather of Soul.
Oh, yes.
Shambo!
Number 17, Andrew. Here's a bit of confusion.
Very, very quickly.
Well,
you know. We don't want to bore the readers.
No, the listeners have paid good no money for this. Number 17, Andrew.
The king. Who was the king?
The king. Who's the king?
Oh, the king's the king. which means the other one's something else.
Which means who's the other one? If that's what you want to go down.
Yeah, I put two answers for the first one, so I'm going with my second answer.
Good thinking. You could be doing well there.
Yeah.
Number 18. If that person is the king, who is the princess of pop?
Princess.
18. Who is the princess of pop?
What was...
We had a queen of pop, now we've got a princess of
pop. Yeah, I'm going to say her.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm guessing. I think it's somebody who wanted to be called something else as well, didn't she?
That's a concert.
I'm
useless. Anyway.
Number 19. The Iron Lady.
Oh, we all know that.
And number 20, one from my youth. Who was known as Tarzan?
Oh, yeah.
What, the real name?
Who, yeah, which person was known as Tarzan?
Johnny Weissmuller.
No, you tit.
Ron Ealy, we've had Ron Ealy.
Doc Savage, Man of Bronze. No, it's not him either.
Right.
Who was Tarzan?
A bonus question, number 21. Who was known as the Tripod of Love?
Oh, God.
Going proper high ground.
Oh, I wonder if it's...
It's going to be one of two people. That's my big useful answer.
Sadly, I think I know the name of both of them.
The Tripod of Love. So there you go. There's 20 with a bonus answers. We go through them quickly.
Yeah. Fire through them.
Are we all done? You ready for your half points, Loney?
I don't know who Air is. I need a clue.
No clues.
Okay, right.
I don't know who Air is either.
I'll give you the answer. Number one, the boss.
Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce Springsteen.
Number two, Old Blue Eyes.
Frank Sinatra.
Correct. Three, Queen of Soul.
Aretha Franklin.
Aretha.
Correct. Four, Beefy.
Ian Botham.
Well done, Iona.
Thanks, Andrew.
Five, the King of Rock and Roll.
Chuck Berry.
Correct.
Ah, bugger. I put Bill Haley.
Well done, Andrew. Good work. That's why you're the quizzer you are.
That's good.
Number six, Queen Bee.
Dolly Parton.
Yep. Is it Beyonce?
Beyonce.
Oh, no, I got it wrong.
And then who is the Queen of Pop?
Madonna.
Whitney. Madonna.
It is Madonna.
Also known as Madge.
Madge. Ah, oh, Madge. Number eight, Lilibet.
ER2.
Her Majesty the Queen.
Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. Number nine, the Italian Stallion.
Sly.
I'll also give you Rocky Balboa.
Rocky Balboa.
Or Sylvester Stallone. I'll give you one for each. I'll give you either or. So you've got that. Number 10, Duke.
John Wayne.
John Wayne.
Correct. Number 11, The Little Tramp.
Don't know.
Right.
Charlie Chaplin.
That's what I put because of the film, yes.
Correct. Get that.
12, The Muscles from Brussels.
Arnie.
Claude.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
No!
Your face. If you, listeners, you can see her face there. Picture.
He's from Austria.
Oh, he is, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm on a bit of a downward slope now.
Half a point. Just take half a point.
Now the next one, I don't know.
I don't know.
The great one.
I've gone left field, Joe Mantana.
I've gone Joe DiMaggio.
I've gone the great one. I don't know.
He's an ice hockey player, Wayne Gretzky.
Oh, Gretzky.
Yeah.
And if you've seen Wayne Gretzky's daughter, she's a great one too.
She's
married to Dustin Johnson. She's married to Dustin Johnson, golfer. Got that. Remains it. Yeah, she's fairly easy on the eye. And he married Janet Jones, who was the girl in the Flamingo Kid back in from our youth.
Oh, I don't know what the Flamingo Kid is.
Oh, it's a great film. Great film. Johnny, what's his name? Matt Damon.
Oh.
Matt Dillon.
Right.
80s classic, The Flamingo Kid.
Right.
Number 14, Air.
I've gone left field and said Nadia Comaneci.
That's very left field, very incorrect.
Is it Michael Jordan? Yeah.
Michael Jordan, very good.
Oh, that is good.
I only knew well that because of his training shoes.
Yeah.
Or sneakers or whatever.
15, The Rock.
Scorpion King.
Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Did you really put Dwayne Johnson, Andrew, because you said Scorpion King?
I did, but I knew his name.
All right.
I did get that one.
16, The Godfather of Soul.
James Brown.
Brown, very good. 17, The King.
Elvis Presley.
The Princess of Pop.
Britney.
Miley.
Is it Mariah?
Britney Spears.
Britney, I wrote, yeah.
Is it?
Britney Spears.
Bugger.
Get in there. 19, The Iron Lady.
Margaret Thatcher.
And number 20, who was known as Tarzan?
Michael Heseltine.
Oh,
that is brilliant. Well done. Of course he was.
Number 21, bonus, who was known as the Tripod of Love?
Either John Holmes or Ron Jeremy.
That's what I put as well. John Holmes and Ron Jeremy.
No clue.
Ron Jeremy, I'll go for.
It's Ron Jeremy.
Yeah, that was the first one I put.
Who's Ron Jeremy?
Very good, you two. That's exactly what I was
thinking. What does that tell anybody about me and Andrew?
Who is it?
It's best you don't know, Iona.
Ron Jeremy is a very unattractive 1980s porn star.
Oh, okay.
Just happens to be rather blessed in one area. He wasn't a beautiful man.
No.
He was just very gifted in what had been bestowed on him. And he was called the Tripod of Love.
Not a lot of love going on, was there, probably?
No, I don't think there was a lot of. I don't think there was a lot of intimacy, but
I didn't do that great. I got 15.
16.
I got 18 out of 21.
Oh, well done, Michael. Well done,
people.
was a good
one. Hopefully you did well at home.
That's good.
And excellent. If your wife's listening, you clearly have no idea who Ron Jeremy or John Holmes is. Just denied till he died. You've never fucking heard of them.
Do you know John Holmes is lonely?
No.
He's the Ron Jeremy of the 70s.
Oh.
He was also very blessed in a certain region.
So there you go. So that was another very good quiz, Stuart. I've got one for next time. We're down at your gaff, aren't we, next time?
We are.
I might actually, as we're going to be down at yours, I might do the one that I tried to do on Zoom that other time that wouldn't work because it kept getting cut off. But I do have a quiz.
You're definitely in charge of the quiz next time.
Yeah. Okay then. So I think that's more or less it, isn't it? I can't see a counter on this. I imagine we've done an hour or so.
Overstayed our welcome time.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of people might have thought that after 5 minutes. But anyway, here we are. We've done that. That was very nice. Lovely to see you all again. Lovely to see you enjoying your holiday, Stuart, because you deserve
a holiday.
Oh no, you have been working. You were working very hard yesterday down at Newlands. I noticed that. Mind you, actually, yesterday was Sunday, wasn't it?
It was Sunday. Even God's allowed a day of rest,
yeah,
my
that's
son.
That's true. Even he's allowed to have a weekend. So we'll see everybody. No, we won't see any of you, actually, but we'll be in touch via this podcast. In a couple of weeks' time from Casa Simo down in West Sussex.
And everyone, before we meet, happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, blimey, that's happening, isn't it?
Thoughtful as Leslie and Andrew, and she buys him an equally big jam pot as she gets most jam.
Yeah, that's true. And don't forget, everybody, send in emails. We like to get emails from you.
Mm-hmm.
Homerpots@gmail.com. That is
absolutely
homerpots@gmail.com.
Super hooper.
Super. Okay, we'll see you soon. Bye bye.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye for now.
HomerPots Happy Hour was recorded in the United Kingdom and is fully owned by Stewhead Publishing Limited, whose owner is an absolute bellend.